Hi everyone and welcome. This is Rudy Hunter from rudyhunter.com, huntershealingcalls.com, and yet another website, the ashworkerstraininghub.com. And I think we're done with .coms for now. I am here with my lovely advanced practitioner, ashworker Tessa B. Say hi, Tessa.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. So we are here talking together because Tessa had some questions for me, and I wanted to basically exploit this opportunity to not only answer them, but to answer them for anyone who's curious not only about ashwork, which is my baby and I'm thrilled about it, and I always drive people towards the ashworkers training because it's a useful tool, but even beyond that, I have friends, and I know Tessa has friends, who are Reiki people and massage people and craniosacral people and verbal counselors and social workers and you name it. So our hope in our time together here is that we are going to provide answers not only specifically about ashwork, but some insights, hopefully, into all of the other modalities. I'm fond of saying that there's lots of good stuff out there, and I really mean it. Having studied probably 80% of it, I can tell you there's cool stuff out in the universe. So hopefully this will be of interest to you if you have an interest in poking around and maybe doing some ash work. But even if you don't, if you're looking at other things, we hope that we'll be able to help you and be of value in our time together. So, Tessa, what do you think?
Oh, I think this is just a wonderful opportunity for all of us.
Great.
May I start quizzing you, Rudy?
Absolutely. I feel like I'm on a game show. It's awesome.
You are. And you have all the answers, I know. So, Rudy, how do you personally create safe space for your client phone sessions?
What a great question. So, safe space is a big deal, and I never go into a session without doing, I used to be very, very sort of ritual-based. I used to do a bunch of things before I ever got on a call, and I do those now, but I don't use objects anymore. I used to go through a whole rigmarole, probably from lots of OCD in growing up. These days, I'm very clear on our time together is precious, and there are a couple of tenets that are really critical about that. In fact, just last night, as irony would have it, because I'm sure Tessa tuned in to me, I was giving a presentation to social workers in training, talking about how vital it is that when you connect with a client, not only for the first time, but every time, it's really important that the client knows that they are in a safe space, and that comes from you doing personal work to create that. And with my clientele in particular, a lot of the folks who finally get to see me, and I apologize for my long waiting list, this is often the very first time they've ever been actually listened to, valued, seen, and most importantly in my book, not judged. So those of you who know my work and have poked around on the websites know that I do a lot of work with survivors of sexual violence. And for years, I only worked on that part of the equation, meaning folks who were struggling with the trauma and trying to get their lives back, because it's crucially important. I've even stretched these days to include working with perpetrators. And it was a very long, slow discovery for me that working with certain perpetrators was as valuable not only to them and to the equation and to myself, but I needed to show up with exactly the same trustworthy safe space for those folks as I did for the others. But that's true of everybody. That it doesn't matter if you're coming to work on a cold you have or a terminal diagnosis or a fight with your brother-in-law or your dog's hips. They're all fundamentally equal. So I prep myself by doing, I do fairly relentless self-work, and I go after things every day. I go after my own stuff every day so that it doesn't come after me, because for years it used to come after me, and I don't recommend that. So getting ahead of your own personal work is the big piece. And then before you work with someone, you need to find a way to be open and available and without judgment. And some days, that's tougher than others. That's sort of an understatement. But you have to be in the place where you're ready to catch people. That's how I perceive it anyway. And what I do for myself is a very stacked version of ASH work before we even begin, before I ever pick up the phone, before our appointment, so that I'm in the most available space without preconceived notions. Well, that was a long, rambling answer to that, wasn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful. And I so agree, Rudy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. One of the blessings for me from client work is that I get to work on my stuff. Because if I have a client coming in and I feel my button, what a perfect opportunity to clear it before I work with them.
Absolutely. And I know you work with people all the time, Tessa, and you're very, very loving and open. And I'm sure you've already discovered, as many of us have, that the amusing universe that has a very wry sense of humor will keep sending clients with your own stuff and my own stuff directly to work with us until we face it, address it, and clear it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are no accidents in that realm.
Oh, no. No accidents.
It's like, oh, again, here we go. Okay.
Oh, a different version, a different hat, same thing. Okay.
Exactly right. That is exactly
yes.
Right.
You ready to go on?
Sure.
I want to get all of these questions in if we can.
Awesome.
So Rudy, how would you define good energetic hygiene? And do you have any personal practices that you could share with us to maintain it for yourself and your clients?
Sure. If you've ever worked with folks and gotten lazy and sloppy, as we all have done in the past, if you've worked with people for any length of time, I don't have to tell you that the universe, who also sends us the same client over and over again, shows up with stuff that in our lives goes sideways, backwards, wrong, and becomes difficult. And that's that's part of the universe going, yo, dude, do your personal energetic hygiene, clean your stuff up. So part of that for me, I mean, I've mentioned this earlier, that I go after my stuff every day. It has actually become a pleasure, and I never thought it would, because I was working through, you know, a fairly heavy early life. But now each morning, I have the pleasure of living in the woods, so every time of the year, including, yes, the middle of February in the Northeast with blankets and quilts and hats, I go out onto my deck in the woods, and I do a little chanting for myself. I send prayers for my clients and others and myself. I go after specifically the stuff that is dogging me, if you'll pardon the expression. And I make sure that by the time I go for my walk that I am clear enough for that moment. Not clear enough for all time, because I used to think that you had to be clear for all time every day. And that's exhausting. So for me, it's clear enough to begin. So my suggestion is, and this doesn't take an hour. It takes anywhere, depending on the day and depending what's up and what's going on, it takes anywhere from 7 or 8 minutes through to, there are times when I'm doing group work where it does take an hour. But most of the time it's brief, because first I have a short attention span, and I've also gotten kinder with myself over the years. I've broken enough rules of how this stuff needs to be done to pay attention to internally when I know I'm actually clear. So I also have way too many techniques that I know, way too many. So I cycle through them because they amuse me. But my suggestion is find one or two go-tos that work no matter what, that work specifically on bad days when you feel nothing will work, you're on your ninth cup of coffee and it's early. Find techniques that you love and do them whether there's a big bang for your buck on any given day or not, because it's more the cumulative nature of that that really helps beyond the specific technique.
Beautiful.
And one of,
and I might add that ASH is definitely in that category for me.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it's it's one of my go-tos. I mean, I built it, but I built it to be short, direct, and to the point. And I know that you and a lot of our other practitioners go to it for all of those reasons as well. And
yes,
it's also built to go to when we don't know what to do. That's one of the things that for years drove me mad is, well, what if you don't know what needs fixing? Well, you can still reliably go and do some ash work and begin the process of it becoming apparent.
Absolutely.
And then one other self-care tool that I highly recommend, take a nap. Napping, just a nice reset for when you're busy, when you're overloaded, when you're taking care of the world. It's very helpful.
I love that. I remember in my 20s, I would take a 10-minute lie down before during a lunch break, and some of the older ladies I was working with would say, "You're too young to take a nap." I go, "Oh, no, no, no."
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Oh, beautiful.
For me,
thank you.
Not only is it a reset, but it actually feels like you get 2 days out of one.
It does. Mm-hmm. It really does. Yeah. It's kind of like an integration tool for me.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that. I just did it. So Rudy, sometimes you talk about closing the energetic door after working with a client.
Yeah.
And I've talked to enough fellow practitioners to know that can be kind of tricky. And I'm wondering if you have any insights that you'd be willing to share with us.
Absolutely. And what a great question. I get asked a lot about... from practitioners that I'm working with, this very question, and also from folks who are empaths. And I produce a lot of work to help empaths because it is the blessing and the curse that I have as well. And I've struggled with energetic boundaries my entire life, sometimes well, sometimes badly. So, you know, I have great cocktail party stories to tell you about the bad times. But when boundaries are the number one thing that empaths need to learn. Boundaries between certainly clients, if you're working on them, family, friends, the worst is loved ones. You know, if you have a sick loved one, God help you, your boundaries are going to be relentlessly challenged, and there it's even more crucial. So the Reader's Digest version of closing the door when you're done with someone is being done 100% completely and totally on all levels and layers. So what that looks like is when we're done in our time together, whether I've given you homework or not, our time is done. And for me, that means a complete and total energetic closure. And in the same breath, I'll tell you that doesn't exclude me working on you down the road, whether we're doing that in a formal setting or in my daily prayers, because I send to clients all the time and many of them never, ever know about it. But part of that, that's part of the work that I do for myself first and for everyone else second. That's another way of understanding a boundary. And the reasons that I do it are very personal. I made vows to myself years ago that I would be of help when it's appropriate and necessary. And that usually falls in my personal prayer time and sending time. In a client session, when we're done, which means that I don't text you 10 minutes later and say, I'm going to send to you now. It also means I don't send you an email or phone you and say, you know, why don't you call me tomorrow? We close the door on that time for everyone's sanity and so that there's no leakage in the energetic bubbles that we're both in. I'm in an energetic bubble, my client's in an energetic bubble. I didn't put them there, that's just how we function. If I'm constantly poking at that bubble, and either way, either the client is constantly poking at my bubble or I'm constantly poking at their bubble, jeez, that's hard to say. I should have just said vice versa. Would have been so much easier. So if we're snuggling at each other, that is an energetic drain or bleed, and that will weaken both of us.
Yep.
And when clients do that, boy, do I know. because I've suffered for years not knowing what's going on and thinking I'm getting sick or I'm being weird or having strange thoughts or what have you. So when I close these days, I close differently in different ways, but let me give you a really strong way to close. And you can try this out for yourself, regardless of what you do. If you're a psychotherapist, if, God forbid, you had to go, you know, visit your mother-in-law for 3 days unexpectedly, talk about boundaries. Whatever the circumstances are, there's a beautiful way to close that is incredibly strong. So if you imagine the center of who you are, your core or your spine, or if all of that's too much, just imagine that there's a big line down the middle of you. And this is an old energetic practice from Touch for Health, actually. It's called a zip-up. And it's really fun to do. You imagine that this line down the front of you is a big old zipper. And from the pubic bone, right north of your junk, all the way up to your upper lip, you imagine just briefly that you zip yourself back up, because energetically that's what you are doing. I add something to this because it's helpful for me. You can do this on the bus when no one's noticing. You can do it sitting, standing, lying down. But I'd urge you to try this version to really feel what this feels like. Stand and do this. Think of someone you've just had a session with or a conversation with or just received an email from that you need to disconnect from energetically. Doesn't mean you stop loving them. Just means you go back to your own houses, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine, and it just takes a second or two, a huge zipper coming from the pubic bone up to your upper lip. And then what I do is I take my hands, push them out to the side, so I'm in the shape of a big letter T.
Mm-hmm.
And as you push yourself out, you have the intention or the idea that you're releasing that person back to their life with love. You're not cranking through going, get away from me, you annoying swine. You're saying, I release you, or you're thinking, I release you back to your life with love. By the time you've done that, that's a very strong personal statement for yourself to see. That's why I make it very physical. And the universe sees it as well. So the universe goes, okay, until the next time you're together, we're separate.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Oh, really wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's a keeper.
It is a keeper.
Yep.
Oh, thank you, Rudy. So a couple more questions. Do we have time?
Absolutely.
Okay. A lot of people, especially starting new, whether it's ASH or energy work or even in massage, how do you hone in on the best way to facilitate the change that your client is truly asking for? So how do you know where to start?
Oh, I love this question. I love this question. Because it has tormented me for years. And depending on the modality that you're dealing with, there are often protocols or prescribed ways to start. And sometimes they match a client's need, and often they don't. And it doesn't diminish either your client's need or whatever technique you're using. Sometimes you hit it, sometimes it takes a while. So ASH was built specifically to enter not knowing, because the truth of the matter is you can only know what you observe energetically and what you listen to from your client through the filter of your own distorted perception.
True.
And perception is all about my history, and it often has nothing to do with the person in front of me. So I'll give you a couple of tips that are great, and if you want to see a great demonstration of this, and it's often really aggravating, but it's a perfect demonstration of it, listen to someone who has just spent a whole 7 minutes in a medical doctor's office who feels that they haven't been heard.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a medical doctor basher. I have lots of friends who are very frustrated medical doctors because they can't spend enough time with people for all of the reasons that we know.
Right.
And they really want to help. My chums are, they go home and they bash their head in a wall going, why can't I have more than 7 minutes? They're very frustrated. But the environment is ripe for misperception. because the doctor has an agenda, the client wants to be heard, and there's frequently a mismatch. And when there is a match, I mean, it's glorious. You get heard, you get treated, and there's a natural coming together of problem and solution that feels exquisite and right. So here's my other, here are a couple of tips to get rid of that burden. And this first one, you'll probably not want to do, or someone starting new probably won't want to do, but a year from now, they will. Enter into every session with the idea that you have no idea.
Yep.
And it will make, especially if you suffer from what I suffer, which is wanting to be right and clever and special and fabulous. It will make you bristle because it's the truth of our experience and it's very humbling.
Yeah.
And while all that's going on, it actually resets you into being more aware to pay attention to what everything the client is presenting to you. I mean, I work by telephone and sometimes I work not even with that. So I'm working remotely all of the time and I can get everything I need to know from either the energetic field or a snag of, like a segment, a tiny little segment of the voice, if I am ready to fess up to the fact that I cannot possibly know. That's a way for me to free myself intellectually, and mm-hmm. that keeps me wide open for all information. So that's it's a powerful maneuver.
It is.
These days, because maybe I'm getting older, maybe because I just like to giggle, or because perhaps I like to tell the truth, I will frequently say to a client, you know, I have no idea. And when they're either horrified or laugh at that, I then say to them, but you know what, why don't we start here and see what we get?
Yeah.
Because that's the truth of really what we're doing. They already know from their connection with me, because I have created that safe place, circling back to question one, that I'm here to help them. And I'm not actually attached to any particular way of working, and that includes ASH work. I'm not attached to it. I want to do heart-to-heart what's going to help the most, because we have precious time together, and they're hurting. So, you know, we do what we can.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well said.
Thanks.
So my last wondering is if you could give us one piece of advice as energy workers, body workers, ASH workers, all people who really are there to help others, mm-hmm. what would it be?
Ooh, wow.
I know. One.
I didn't ask you for these questions in advance. I could have prepped. Wow. Well, I'm gonna broaden that a little because I have a cluster of pieces of advice that are all very similar.
Of course.
So, wow, that's a great question, Tessa. if I had only a few little fragments, at the very top of the list would be probably be real, which means be aware of when you're being authentic and when you're not, and leave the inauthentic stuff out of the session. So be real. Along with that is showing up. Showing up means that for this time that you're together with your client, they are, with all of their foibles and suffering and madness and craziness and sweetness, they are truly the most precious being in the world for you then. And sometimes, some days, it's hard to get there.
Yes.
And with some clients who are very challenging, or some aggressive dogs who are really challenging, it's hard to get there. And yet the truth of the matter is that they really are the most precious being that there is in our time together while we're together.
Yep.
And then the third, probably the trifecta of that, which has taken me a long time to settle into, and I'll be the happily the very first one to admit this. Because in my early life working with people, because I've worked with people for decades, for a long time, I didn't come from this place. I came only from my head and from cleverness and from wanting to figure it out and be right and be the genius. Be coming from your heart all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that now because I've had my heart popped open relentlessly because I threw myself into it by all kinds of clients, all kinds of animals, and I'm at the place in my life now where I want that actually more than anything. I want to choke up when I'm working with a client. I want to be raw, be real, go into the deep end together and do the work, because I know that's the way we actually get free from the difficulties.
Yeah.
So that little cluster.
Mm.
And then one more, because it's a pet peeve, but it serves a much bigger purpose. Start and end on time. And I know,
yes,
that, I know that sounds just silly compared to the other ones, but here's the bigger purpose. Well, one of the bigger purposes it serves. When I say I'm going to be there with you, I am there with you. I'm not 10 minutes late because, you know, I had to make a cup of coffee or pay an insurance bill. When we're done, my aim always, because of the way that I work with folks, is to be done for that time with that issue as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's no sense that it drags on and on and on and on. I mean, the work certainly often takes longer time and a lot of unwinding happens after the point where we're finished. But if I can show up on time and end on time, that's automatically a level of trust in what I'm doing, who I am, and how we're going to be together. And all of the rest of that time, we're going to be real and coming from the heart, doing the work and being, I want to be as available to you as possible. Because that's really the exquisite part of that work. And I know that you know this because you work this way with people all the time. You get right into the heart and you go, well, let's just do this.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
and there's something about beginning and ending on time. It creates, it's part of that creating of the safe space. And developing and bridging that, yes, I'm here for you, and I'm honoring you, and I'm honoring me. And it's really important.
Yeah, I really
yeah,
know that it is.
Beautiful. Rudy, I don't have any more questions for you right now.
Well, you are the best. What a great collection of them you brought. I want to tell folks that to find you, folks already know where to find me. I blab my site in all of the things I do, but I want to point folks towards the ashworkerstraininghub.com. That's where all of the advanced ashwork practitioners are, and they can find you with your glowing, beautiful photograph and your light-lit face, which really is a testament to how full of light you are, because you work with folks all the time. And I'm not only not everyone's cup of tea, but all our ash workers, like Tessa, are available and here to be of help and of service.
Absolutely.
So what a thrill and a half hanging out with you.
Oh, yes. Let's do it again sometime.
Sounds awesome to me.
Thank you, Rudy.
Thanks so much, Tessa. Appreciate all of you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.